Instruction concerning the imminent draft. During the months of civil war, Adventists had been counseled to take a low profile, to say as little as possible but make it clear they had no sympathy with slavery. As the possibility of a national military draft loomed, some in Iowa, in the ministry and among the laity of the church, rushed ahead in making bold and boastful statements. They even petitioned the state legislature for exemption, wrote Ellen White. In Iowa, they carried things to quite a length and ran into fanaticism. They mistook zeal and fanaticism for conscientiousness. Instead of being guided by reason and sound judgment, they allowed their feelings to take the lead. They were ready to become martyrs for their faith. Asking if this led them to God or greater humility, she answered herself, "Oh, no." Instead of making their petitions to the God of heaven and relying solely upon his power, they petitioned the legislature and were refused. She pointed out that this served only to bring Sabbath keepers into special unfavorable notice, adding, "I saw that those who have been forward to talk so decidedly about refusing to obey a draft do not understand what they are talking about. Should they really be drafted and, refusing to obey, be threatened with imprisonment, torture, or death, they would shrink and then find that they had not prepared themselves for such an emergency. They would not endure the trial of their faith. What they thought to be faith was only fanatical presumption." Then she set forth the position that should be taken at that time, and later if there was a draft. Those who would be best prepared to sacrifice even life, if required, rather than place themselves in a position where they could not obey God, would have the least to say. They would make no boast. They would feel deeply and meditate much, and their earnest prayers would go up to heaven for wisdom to act and grace to endure. Those who feel that in the fear of God they cannot conscientiously engage in this war will be very quiet, and when interrogated will simply state what they are obliged to say in order to answer the inquirer, and then let it be understood that they have no sympathy with the rebellion. I was shown that as a people we cannot be too careful what influence we exert, we should watch every word. When we by word or act place ourselves upon the enemy's battleground, we drive holy angels from us, and encourage and attract evil angels in crowds around us. The records available regarding the impact of the war on Seventh-day Adventists in the various northern states are meager. The work of the church had not yet entered the southern states, hence the problems brought by the war were confined to the north. It would seem that there was some diversity on how the states raised their quota of men in answer to President Lincoln's call to supply the ranks. A very few Seventh-day Adventists were drafted quite early. The Review and Herald, October 21, 1862, carries a letter from Martin Kittle, written from Camp Mansfield, Ohio. It opens, "Brother White, I have been drafted into the United States service. As far as I know, I am the only one in Ohio. I feel anxious to know if any other Sabbath keepers have been drafted from any other place." Ibid, October 21, 1862. 2 weeks later, a letter to the editor contained this postscript. "Brethren S. Babcock and H. Burdick of Clymer, Pennsylvania, received notice of their being drafted last Sabbath, and left Tuesday for Wellsboro, and from there to Harrisburg. Brother Babcock is anxious to have his review continued, so that his wife may forward it to him as often as she can. He was in haste for the church in his place to be organized, but knew not why, but now rejoices that it was done in season for him to leave his companion and dear children under the watch care of a body so constituted that when one member suffers, all suffer with it." Ibid, November 4, 1862. On March 3, 1863, the Congress of the United States passed a law calling for the enrollment of all men between the ages of 20 and 45. This would form the basis of a national draft. It now looked as if one man in three would be called to military service. Certain provisions of this act brought a sigh of relief to Seventh-day Adventists. That members of religious denominations, who shall by oath or affirmation declare that they are conscientiously opposed to the bearing of arms, and who are prohibited from doing so by the rules and articles of faith and practice of such religious denomination, shall, when drafted into the military service, be considered noncombatants, and shall be assigned by the Secretary of War to duty in the hospitals, or to the care of freedmen, or shall pay the sum of $300, to such person as the Secretary of War shall designate to receive it, to be applied to the benefit of the sick and wounded soldiers. Provided, that no person shall be entitled to the benefit of the provisions of this section, unless his declaration of conscientious scruples against bearing arms shall be supported by satisfactory evidence that his deportment has been uniformly consistent with such declaration. The Views of Seventh-day Adventists Relative to Bearing Arms, pages 3, 4.